I don't want you to move it over there. The cheese can stay there. But when you said you pass me, I don't want you to dip for me and pass.
I'm not going to dip for you and pass that. I would just...
Because I don't want that.
I was going to pass you the bowl of cheese. You dip.
I get the dip.
You
and
dip.
I give you the bowl back. What about...
However you want to...
No, just keep the cheese there.
So
I can reach.
What if I just hold it over...
What if I drip onto the soundboard?
Oh. It wouldn't be that big of a loss, probably.
Who's that loss?
It's Alexander Knox.
Bad tie. All right, I'm good. I just needed one.
Okay. I'm just going to have one more. Well, it's going to be more than that.
That's great corn taste.
It's golden corn.
Well, it says great corn taste in the back.
I wish there was someone to hear us.
Wait.
You know, talking about.
Oh.
Hello,
friends.
Oh.
Here you are for another episode of Action Features.
Some old friends showed up.
Here it is. I have no idea what episode number it is. I have no clue.
41. 41, right?
It's 41. I did have a clue. I lied. I lied before and I said I didn't have a clue.
You know what?
We're over the hill.
Yep, and I was pretty disappointed that... I didn't know that it was episode 40 when we did it because we could have had a birthday. That's a milestone.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah, see, you don't get crazy with the milestones, though.
No.
You know, 1, 25, 50, those are milestones. You can't do every 10.
For ages.
It's silly.
For ages. Yeah. But for a podcast.
I made light of it in the description thing, saying, you know, is 40 the new 30?
Yeah.
If it is, then this is episode 30.
Okay. That takes away some of my disappointment.
There you go. So what's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, we have two top five lists, not one, but two.
Two of them.
Yep.
Why did we do that, I wonder?
Well, because Father's Day is coming up.
It is.
And also...
The Superman movie's coming out soon.
Superman movie's coming out. So why
not do two top fives? We have nothing else to talk about tonight, so why not?
Top five fathers of Superman.
Yep. It's a short list.
Yep.
It's actually top five Superman movie moments, live-action movie moments.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say the other one? Share it?
Top five TV sitcom dads.
Yeah, I like that list.
I like that, too.
That one's going to be fun.
We'll save that one.
We'll do the Superman first, and then do the sitcom one after. Or should we do the sitcom one first, and do the Superman after?
Well, there's going to be more laughs than the other one.
See,
everybody sit through it.
I'm just thinking in light of my wife... Listening, she's probably going to go do the sitcoms first because I could turn you guys off after the sitcom.
She's probably the only one still listening, so maybe we should just cater to what she wants.
Well, let's make her listen to it.
Okay.
We'll make her listen to the whole thing. So let's do Superman first.
Okay.
Is there anything current you need to talk about?
Well, I wanted to say that I saw a Star Trail.
I still have not seen a Star Trail.
Well, I saw a Star Trail. And
it's still spoilery to talk about it just yet.
I'm not really going to say much about it. I just want to say that I enjoyed it more than I thought that I was going to enjoy it.
Well, that's good.
I don't think it was as good as the first one.
That's...
And there were a number of pretty annoying...
Things.
Things in it that relate to Star Trek. It's kind of like, hey, if you've heard about Star Trek, you might have heard of a Tribble. Here's one. Something for you.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
If you like this scene from the previous Star Trek, you're going to like it again when we do it.
Right.
We're going to do it again.
There's a couple of things like that that are... And there's some really bad lines. There's some... Some pretty bad... Some bad delivery... badly written, but... I can't say badly delivered, but...
Yeah.
But not... But Spock had some cool moments.
That's good.
You know, and Kirk had some cool moments, but not like before where you're like, yeah, it's Kirk, and he's getting it.
Yeah.
He just kind of was like...
There
now. It's more of... It's really more of a Spock movie, I felt like.
It's weird because, you know, I love Star Trek.
I know you love Star Trek.
And everything I've heard, like, from different plot points and different comparisons and things like that, it made me really just kind of go, that's not the type of movie I want to see. I really don't, for me as a longtime Star Trek fan, I really don't want to see this stuff played out again or played out in a different way or taking something I really liked and twisting it into this or doing it with that. And so, you know, the more I've gotten away from not seeing it, the more I feel like I don't even have to see it. Like, I'm just like...
You don't have to
see
really
it. Want to see that. I don't want to see them do these things with certain characters or with certain tributes to other scenes and things like that. People say, oh, well, you got to see it. And I'm like, I don't know if I got to see it. Like you just said, like I don't feel like I have to go see it.
You live.
You know, I know what's going to happen now. I know what they're doing. And regardless if they do a good job of doing those things, I don't want to see him do those things.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
So why? Why would I have to go see it?
Yep.
I know what's going to happen. Maybe... I appreciate all those actors, and I know it was probably filmed well, and all these different things, but that's not going to change certain things that they did with this movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're still going to be in the movie.
You'll see it one day, I'm sure.
Maybe I'll see it on DVD.
I mean, it'll come out on DVD one day.
I got other things to do, though, movies.
You don't have time for that right now.
I really
now.
Don't want to see that.
But here's something that's funny. About halfway through the movie, I could only think of Sulu in in context of...
the animated series.
The animated series. I'll tell this. I'll tell the story real quick. We're playing the animated series one time, and all I caught Sulu talking, and it was like this stream of what sounded like gibberish to me, and ended with "You must be inscrutable, Captain."
You got to be inscrutable, Captain.
So after that, we started. I started kind of making up gibberish, and it was, you know, "Teamy Slim Flam, you must be inscrutable, Captain."
The ping dong. Grab the pling plong, Captain.
Captain, the cling plong is on the ping dong. You must be inscrutable. And then it kind of.
Dr. McCoy took my cotton candy, Captain.
Then it progressed. Then it progressed from there to being him kind of being jealous, trying to get other shipmates in trouble. Scotty left my kazoo on the holodeck, Captain. You said you would do something about it, Clapton. And then it got to where he was trying to, like, kind of hit on Kirk a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
But
maybe a little bit. I like when he gets the other crew people
yeah.
in trouble. That's my favorite thing.
Bones left the screen door open again, Clapton.
That's one of your favorites to do is the screen door.
I love the screen door on the ship.
Uhura took my bookmark, Captain. I can't find my place.
What are you going to do about it? And then there was... I had another bit where I still got this little routine that just kills. I was saying, pardon the sleem tom, Captain, but what is the T for? Because
his
middle initial is T.
James T. Kirk.
What is the T for, Captain? So...
There it is.
So I just
now
kept,
you're privy to
so this. I just kept thinking about Sulu during this film, saying, "What is the D for, Captain?"
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. There was something I was going to talk about, and I forgot.
Was it about the Val Kilmer Batman?
Well, that for sure. That was great.
We should post up a link.
I should. Yeah, I posted it on my personal Facebook. But there's a show with Warwick Davis called Life's Too Short. And he had an episode with Val Kilmer on there. And it's very funny, Val Kilmer on there with this whole Batman bit that he's got. Cracked me up. I showed it to Mike. We watched it like 5 times. It's so funny. So I'll post it on the Facebook page so everybody can enjoy it. Do you have a secretary? I have this little bit I like to do.
I have this little routine. It's also a routine. It's not a routine at all.
It's a routine. It kills.
It kills. It just kills.
Very funny.
It's very funny.
There was something else, though, other than that. There was another thing. Man. Hmm. Oh, Matty Collectors.
What'd they do?
You know, DC Comics has the He-Man rights right now, right?
Okay.
They're doing the He-Man series. It's kind of a revisionist. They're changing the story. They changed the costumes, all these different things. They have this new He-Man suit coming out that's, I think, utter garbage. And I think most of the fan community is like, this is garbage. He's got, like, these weird red pant things and, like, this segmented belly thing armor and weird overall things. It's terrible. Most of the new 52 DC designs are terrible. His design is terrible. And so they're going to have this big crossover with DC versus He-Man or something. And Matty Collector, they posted a poll saying, "Oh, we've seen a lot of fans that say they may want the DC designs as figures. How do you want us to handle them? In 2 packs for $50 with a new 52 DC figure? As single carded figures for $25? Or do you want us to not do them all? Okay. First of all, you guys kept saying that, oh, the line's dying, it's going to die, we need you to sub up, it's going to die. Oh, we have only so much money, it's only going to last this long. And now you're putting out there that you're going to do these random DC designs as figures? When we don't even have a complete line yet, you're concerned about that? When you were just poor mouthing not too long ago about the line, and now you're thinking, oh, we'll do 2 packs of new 52 He-Man, $50. What? Nobody wants that.
No, I don't.
Finish, quit.
I don't need that
everything
stuff mixed
else.
Up.
Just finish the line. Just finish the line.
Do what you're going to do.
Quit your garbage, Matty Collectors. right. Oh. Well, that was one thing.
Well, two. I want
to. Oh, say something about
that. Well, while we're talking about Mattel,
do it.
I know Mattel Collector is not exactly. I know it's Mattel, but
it's a Mattel's.
It's a different thing than the retail.
Mm-hmm.
But one good and one bad. One good. Well, one bad being. My good friend Nate bought a Superman from the movie, a figure.
Oh, he bought the Movie Master?
No, no, no. One of the three and three quarters figures because it had a Fleischer paint scheme. Like, it had the black ass and the...
That's kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he gets it out.
Yeah.
Only to discover that it has a cheap plastic cape.
Yeah.
All the other figures you can look in the package have cloth capes.
Oh, boy.
Why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
Why would you... Why don't you make them all with cloth capes?
I don't think those are good. I know you're okay with that line, because it's kidified.
Yeah.
I think it's terrible looking.
Well, they're proportionate.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got them out for $6. Same deal with the...
for the kids.
With the Green Lanterns. But, so that's one bad. One good is that...
Good? Okay, that's the bad.
At Walmart, I haven't seen them anywhere else.
Oh my goodness.
They have put out...
This lemon cupcake is so good. Hang on.
You did the lemon cupcake already? All right.
I had to take a bite, and I need a napkin now.
James needs a napkin, so I'm going to finish. I don't care about the Fast and Furious movies. It's crazy over the top with CG, car stunts and things. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose to me of doing stunts and having car stunts, is if you have to CG them, then it's not cool anymore. You're taking something...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. But anyway... Mattel has put out a whole line of Fast and Furious cars from all the movies with nicer Hot Wheels. This is in the Hot Wheels line. They got Fast and Furious packaging with new, like, better paint, more attention to detail on the paint apps and everything. Still 97 cents.
Look at that.
I don't know how they did it.
Hmm.
They probably had a deal with Walmart or something, but they said, look, here's a whole line of cars that you want. I mean, if you want them or if you're a fan of the movie or whatever... They got out some product for the same price as the rest of their regular line. So good job on that.
Good on them.
So that's it.
You know their little reveal lately, I hadn't heard this, but in one of the Q&A things, and this is still related to Mattel, but not related to what you're saying, this is another bad. When we saw those 60s Batman figures,
yeah,
I think we were like, oh, they're cool.
They look
great.
There's
something a little off on the head sculpts, though, in my opinion, so far. The head sculpts were a little bit off. The Four Horsemen are not doing that line. It's in-house Mattel sculpting.
Oh.
So that may be why those head sculpts are a little bit off.
I thought Cesar Romero looked good.
That did look good. I think it was more Burt Ward, Adam West. The Burt Ward, Robin, I think that the proportions are really funky on that one.
Is that the worst one?
That's the worst one.
I remember Adam West looking okay.
So that may be one of the reasons. But it was kind of, it's good and bad, like you said. The reason that they did that is so that they're differentiated from the DC Universe Classics and that kind of style. That they wanted this to look totally different.
Hmm.
Than that, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So good and bad. All right, so let's do this. You ready for this?
I'm ready. First of all, you busted in that lemon cupcake. Like,
dude, all day I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about these lemon cupcakes all day.
I want to have one too.
It's got a gooey center.
Who makes them?
It's great. It's like, I guess, the Walmart brand, the Great Value.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And it is a Great Value.
It's like double lemon because they're filled with a lemony center.
It's a lemon cake and then it's got a liquidy lemon center. In a muffin. It's really good.
One lemon muffin.
Hmm. Can't even talk right now. I just want to eat.
I just want to have a food podcast. Mm-hmm. A food cast.
Hmm.
Welcome to the Action Features Food Cast.
Where we eat. And that's it.
We're just going to stick a mic in the middle of the dinner table.
When you said that, I thought about you.
You can be with us.
In the middle of the dinner table. Stick a mic in the middle of the dinner table.
I see. Just sit up there cross-legged.
There. Hey, guys.
Well.
Welcome to the dinner cast.
Could I have some of those green beans? No? Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
All right. We're doing the Superman first?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to preface this with, I have seen the Superman films. I have.
Good job. All right.
But.
Well, let's get to it. No.
I didn't have them a lot as a kid, and I don't know why. But they didn't.
Strange.
But some things didn't stick with me. They kind of blend together to me, as far as I don't know what's what. And
well, see, this is kind of good though, because the ones on your list must really stick out.
Yeah.
You're gonna remember them if you're not that attached
right.
to it.
Right.
Like, I had trouble sort of narrowing it down to just five.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with the four
yeah.
good Superman movies. Well, I wouldn't even say four good ones. I'd say two good ones, yeah. two other Christopher Reeve ones, and then there's one bad one.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting to see which ones stuck out right. and if they match up with what I have. You want to start it off?
I'll start it off.
All right. I do have an honorable mention.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and say it because I know it's not on your list.
Okay.
Well, I think it's not on your list. Is there anything Superman Returns at all on your list?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I never saw that.
You never saw it?
Never saw it.
Well, that you're better off I for not having seen it. Figured. But I think I... Did I mention this last time? The Superman Returns thing I wanted to say?
I don't think so.
All right. I rewatched Superman Returns not too long ago. After Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
All right? And a lot of people... Superman Returns came out back in, 2006, maybe?
Something like
it
that.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was
a while ago. And I think that since then...
Oh, my goodness.
With so many more comic films coming out since then, so much of these big flashy movies coming out, so much CGI movies and big event movies, and big opening weekends, and who cares? I think that audiences, especially like pop culture fan audiences, comic geeks, whatever you want to call us, and since it's become more mainstream and all these things, I think that audiences are becoming way more accepting of like big giant plot holes and big changes to the characters
totally.
And things like that.
Totally.
Iron Man 3 is a good evidence of that. Mm-hmm. That it's been so crazy how much money it's made, but as a comic fan, I was just so incredibly disappointed, and there were so many leaps of logic.
I want to say something after you're done.
I was watching Superman Returns, and I'm like, okay, there are some good action sequences in this movie. And there's actually a couple of good Superman moments in this movie. There are some huge plot holes. And there's some huge jumps of logic. But are they comparatively as bad as Iron Man 3's plot holes and jumps of logic? If Superman Returns were to come out today...
It'd be better.
Would it be more accepted
Maybe.
Than it is? I think it might be.
They're getting progressively worse.
And people are just taking it and going, oh, you shouldn't. You're a hater. You should not. Oh, you're just hating on it. Oh, well, it was fun. You should just do this. You should just enjoy the movie. Don't question stuff.
Mm.
If this were to come out nowadays, would these audiences all just kind of go, oh, it's no big deal that he's got Super Kid. Oh, it's no big deal that he and Lois were together. It's not, oh, it's... Big, no, oh, okay, so he flies the continent off. It doesn't make much sense, but it was cool, man. You saw that scene, and it was cool.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe Superman Returns will do better nowadays, now that audiences are so much more accepting than they were before.
Probably.
Maybe. All right, so the honorable mention from that movie is the plane rescue scene.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that part.
That scene was well done.
Looks cool.
It was well filmed. The effects were good for being CGI. The logics of it, where he's trying to grab the wing and it tears off because he can't grab a plane by its wing and having to stop it and all that stuff. It was well done. I enjoyed that scene, and I still enjoy that scene. I wouldn't put it in my top five Superman movie moments because it's...
We can't do it.
You know, Brandon Routh and it's Superman Returns and all these different things. But it was... I wanted to at least mention that it was a good scene. Maybe the only thing in Superman Returns that was done really well.
Hmm.
So, all right. So you're number five.
Well, I'm in love with this lemon cupcake.
Isn't it great?
It's so good.
It was really good. Mine's gone, as you can see. It's gone. I ate it. It's gone. How do they keep that... liquidy in the center? It's a cooked moment.
Oh, they injected, I'm sure.
They must inject it. Do you see a hole anywhere, though?
Nope. It just the holes got it sealed up after
it's
they
sealed
when
back
they,
up.
When they baked it.
Well, they maybe carved some out and then replaced it. They put it back in and you can't even see the seam.
Maybe they'd make two halves of a muffin with a hole in it, and then fill the cream,
put
stick
it together,
them together.
You got a whole muffin again.
Yep, that's how they
that's
do it.
It.
That's how they
Must
have to do it.
They're great.
Yeah,
man, they're great.
I want to say
get more of these.
You got to. I want to say you were talking about Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
And just real quick, my friend Chad calls me, tells me. He was listening to the podcast, and he stopped it right before he went, before we got into Iron Man 3.
Oh, he listened to what we said.
He stopped it.
Like we said in the podcast.
Right. Then he went and saw Iron Man 3.
Wow.
And he came out and immediately listened to the...
That is amazing.
The next segment of our podcast right after, and he was like, yeah, they're so right. This is a piece of crap. Like, this movie was like...
That is awesome!
So the episode got used in perfect context.
That's great. Kudos to Chad.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to buy him one of those lemon
muffins.
He did
the right thing. He's coming into town this weekend.
I'm going to buy him a lemon muffin.
All right. Okay, so my top five. Richard Pryor on the ski slope.
That's your number five?
It's not good, but I remember.
I gotta tell you, I got some laughs. Richard Pryor in Superman 3.
I got some laughs out of it.
I think he's great in Superman 3. He is by far one of the least objectionable things about Superman 3.
Say it ain't so. Yep.
I love Richard Pryor. I think he's hilarious, and there's some scenes that I crack up just watching him do things in Superman 3.
Yeah, I don't know why he was in it, but...
Because he was super popular at the time, and they just went, oh, Richard Pryor wants to be in a Superman movie, and let's put him in a Superman movie.
Yep.
So...
No.
All right. Number 5 for me is actually a deleted scene from the first movie.
Okay.
It's in the DVD set, and the special edition version, or whatever, the director's cut version. Mm-hmm. And it's a scene where Superman is going to get Luthor in his underground lair in the first Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex is, like, testing him almost as he goes through. He, like, shoots him with guns, and the bullets are bouncing off. And then he has to walk through fire, and he freezes him, and he does all these things to him. And the effects are just really well done for the time. And it's just really cool seeing Superman just being tested by Luthor and just making it through the whole thing.
Yep.
It was really cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree so much, in fact, that that's my number 4.
Really? No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
That was great.
It's a really cool scene.
I don't know why they took it out of the movie.
I don't either. It's filmed so well, and it really is just a cool scene. If you watch the regular version...
It really holds up.
Yeah. If you watch the regular version and it's him drilling down and then he's just there, you don't know it's missing. Right. But once you know it's missing, it's like, why is this gone? Why did they take that out?
That's the whole selling point of Superman to me, is to see all the stuff that you can do to him.
Yeah. It's a really cool scene. Well, that's cool that made your list. I'm excited about that. Mike's taking off.
I'm getting a napkin. I'm out of here.
All right, so my number 4 is the junkyard scene from Superman 3.
Junkyard dog!
Where Clark... And Superman's been changed by the synthetic kryptonite. He's becoming evil Superman.
Yeah.
And then he separates in between Clark and Superman. And they have to battle each other in the junkyard. Again, even for its time, the effect is amazing. It still holds up. I really bought that it was an evil Superman and Clark, and they're just fighting each other. It never really crosses my mind that it's the same actor doing both of these roles.
Right.
That's how good Chris Reeve is. I mean, it's just... And it's just a really cool effect, and it was awesome to see an evil Superman. It was probably the biggest selling point for me for Superman 3. I really like Richard Pryor, which is a lot of people may criticize me for.
Yeah, he can't be the biggest.
But the coolest scene in that movie is evil Superman versus Clark in the junkyard.
I don't know if I remember that.
It's evil Superman is the thing that makes Superman 3.
Yeah. That's cool.
That should have been the final battle of the movie. Instead of him versus the supercomputer and Robot Girl and all those things. What's your number 3?
I don't want to say supercomputers. This is going to be weird, maybe. But it's something I remember this a lot. I think it's in Superman 2. Where him and Lois go to they go away.
To the honeymoon?
To the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And she finds out that he's Superman.
Yeah.
And he puts his hand in the fire.
Yep.
To reach for his glasses or something.
Yeah.
And he falls.
He trips.
Right. And he plays it all. He tries to play it off real well, but Lois by this time is kind of onto him. And when he reveals, like when she's like, let me see your hand, and there's nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. And then he totally just becomes super smooth at that point. He's just like, well, I'm Superman.
He's
okay,
dapper,
we're going
to. You know?
But
he like straightens up. I love his transformations between Clark and Superman.
Yeah. But that moment, for some reason, I just always remember that and him sticking his hand in the fire. So a good moment too, looking back. Also, aside from my childhood, it is
Superman 2, and it was a scene that they when they took Richard Donner off the movie, and they put, because they were filming Superman 1 and 2 at the same time,
mm-hmm,
with Donner, and then Donner was taken off the film, and so they had to reshoot some things and change some things to make it so that Richard Lester could be the directorial credit for Superman 2. The scene originally played out with Lois has it figured out, and she takes a gun, and she's like, I'm willing to bet your life that you're Superman.
Oh.
And she goes to shoot Clark, and he has to straighten up, and then he's standing there still, and he kind of reveals that he's Superman, and he's like, well, you know, had you been wrong, Clark would be dead right now. And she's like, well, it was blanks. So she had it figured out before that even happens. But I do love that scene.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see two different takes of how she would have figured out that he is Superman.
I don't think either one of them is wrong.
I don't either. I think they're both cool.
They're both cool.
My number three is the Kryptonian fight. Him versus the three Kryptonians in Metropolis from Superman 2.
Yeah.
Big giant fight where four characters that have the superpowers are all fighting each other, and a big giant battle with big sets and big craziness going on. Filmed at Pinewood Studios, the same place that they did the Gotham City set from Batman 89. It was just a really cool scene.
Yeah.
The big giant fight scene.
I like just about all the stuff with them.
Yeah, with the Kryptonian villains.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, that's my number three.
It was big.
It was real big.
Big fight.
Buses flying and...
Oh, all kinds of stuff getting broken.
There is some cheese in there.
Sure.
Like people on roller skates being blown by things, and the guy in the telephone booth that still stays on the telephone as the booth blows away. That's all kind of campy fun.
It's fun.
It's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
So it's okay to have some campy fun every once in a while.
You can throw in a little fun.
You can throw in a little bit of fun.
Put that tongue in your cheek.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have some
fun. It's tongue in cheek.
All right. My number two is the fight at the diner. Not the first one where he gets his butt kicked, but the where he comes back as Superman.
It's great.
And he
this orders to go.
That's right. It's a little cheesy. Like
it's a little bit cheesy.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But you also are with him in that you want this.
Oh, you want this to happen.
Yeah, you want this guy to get shown what's what.
Yeah, you want him to be.
You want him to get his just desserts.
Exactly. It's funny, that scene...
But Superman he starts, he goes back and instigates, on purpose.
No doubt he does. And I would too, I'm like, man, good on you. This guy deserves it.
Which is funny.
There's two things I want to say about that scene. When Blaze and I were at, I think Cosi maybe, there's a little 50s diner type, thing in there. And he clued in on Superman 2 over there. He was sitting at the table and he was like, hey dad, check it out. This order's to go. And then pretending like he was pushing the guy. I'm like, look at you, man. Remember the Superman 2 scene. The other thing is, in the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, he uses they were originally going to use the turn the time backwards to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where he spins backwards and reverses time. And so that's in the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, right? So he reverses time. But they still put the scene in where he goes to the diner and beats that guy up. But in that version... He would have never gotten into a fight with that guy. So Superman is just going and just beating this guy up for no reason that the guy knows of. Superman knows, but this never happened to this guy.
Right.
So he just goes and beats him up. Just to beat him up. That's good.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often with him.
Why not? You know, you got the power.
You got the power. All right.
All right, so that was your number two.
What's my number two?
My number two is the Jor-El and Lara goodbye scene from... hang on, I gotta text my wife real quick. I just told her
Bobby.
That I'm going to get the kid. I said I'm going to podcast and I'll get the kids after. Hang on.
You don't want to say anything. Don't say anything.
Just go ahead and tell your little story.
Oh yeah, so I'm at Kroger, and you know the guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, you got a couple of quarters?" And I say, "Look, pal, I don't have a couple of quarters. Okay, I have one quarter. I have one dime." And maybe two pennies in my pocket. And that's it. And that doesn't give you what you need. You need 50 cents, okay? Now, I don't have it. I don't have it. What are you going to use it on for? Anyway, drugs? Are you going to buy a crack with it?
All right, I'm back.
Okay, so.
So my number two is the Jor-El and Lara goodbye scene from Superman 1, where they're putting Kal-El in the ship,
mm-hmm.
and Jor-El has the whole speech about, you know, the father becomes the son becomes the father.
Marlon Brando.
You should live life through your eyes. Amazing. As a kid, I didn't get it. I didn't get... You know, what the big deal was that this guy had played Jor-El and stuff.
Yeah.
As an adult, and I see that scene, and I hear his voice and the way he's acting and stuff, man, it's still, like, gives me chills just hearing him talk and say those lines and just the way he acts. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible actor. Incredible scene. It almost made my number one.
It's your number two.
It's my number two. But, man. Well, my number one, I'd already given away.
Oh.
Back when we did our top five movie moments, it was in my top five movie moments.
Okay.
So I can't exactly... Then not put that as my number one Superman movie. So, all right. Well, so what's your number one?
My number one is when Kevin Costner reveals that he's Clark Kent.
Wait, what?
And he comes out of the barn, and he reveals that he's going to be Clark Kent.
That's Man of Steel that you're talking about. The cast. We haven't even seen that movie. Oh.
It's very vivid in my mind. When he comes out and he says, "I'm Clark Kent. I'm the real Clark Kent," is what he says.
Okay. All right. Is that really number one?
Yeah. That's what I have written.
You really had that as your number one?
Yeah.
You've ruined this.
Wrote it down. That's what I had.
You ruined it. You have no number one. We have to take your number two as your number one.
Well, okay, if I had to pick a real number one, I mean, if I have to have something real to take that spot, which I like when Superman gets the... That chick is in the pool. Remember that?
Oh, Miss Teschmacher?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's dying.
What are you talking about?
Or he's dying.
He's dying. He's
and she and she gets in the pool? See, I can't even... Yeah. I don't remember. I have a vague recollection of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense.
Okay, that was intense.
Yeah.
Well, the whole sequence of... I think... I know what you're... leading up
he
to
He got
that,
a kryptonite necklace.
When he gets the kryptonite necklace, and Luthor is saying, mind over muscle, and all those things, and you see that... Man, I mean, Chris Reeve's acting is amazing. When that comes out, you could actually see, like, in his face, like, the terror and, like, that he's dying. It's just, like, such a change from how he was acting as Superman before the kryptonite's out.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene, I love that scene, where he's putting the kryptonite around him and he's trying to know where the other missile's headed and all that stuff. Great stuff.
My number one is still when Kevin Costner reveals that he's Clark Kent.
That's understandable. My number one, as I said in my top five movie moments, is after Lois, he pulls Lois from the car and she's dead and he's standing there and it's just silence. And it shows the scene from, like, a couple different angles. Mm-hmm. And then he's, like, trembling, and he's doing the no, 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 no. And he starts crying, and then he's, like, screaming as he's flying. Man, it's good.
I think that was on Nate's top five.
So good. Is it on his top five?
I forgot to print his list, but I'm pretty
sure.
Oh, he
did Superman top five Superman
I told him,
movie moments? Nice. That's got
to
be.
It was a really good list, actually, and I forgot to print it, but.
Oh, sorry, Nate.
It's all right.
You got hosed on this
one. Sorry,
buddy. But if you have that one on your top five, you're in the right direction, because that scene is amazing.
That's your number one.
That's my number one.
All right.
All right, so now we're going to move on to our top five sitcom dads in honor of Father's Day.
In honor of Father's Day.
In honor of Father's Day. Oh, by the way, love you, Dad. Father's Day is coming up. My dad's birthday is coming up, so...
My dad's birthday is coming up, too, and Father's Day.
So there we go. This is the one for our dads, this episode.
This is for our dads.
Yeah.
Pops, all right. This one's for you.
You want me to go first this time?
Sure.
Okay. My number five... is Tim the Tool Man Taylor from Home Improvement.
Oh, okay.
I really liked Home Improvement.
I did, too.
On. I didn't realize it came on so long ago. It came out in 1991.
It was a long time
That's
ago.
That's a year before Batman Returns came out.
That's right.
Think about that. Batman Returns seems older than Home Improvement.
It does.
Man, yeah, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Always funny on the show. Even in the drama episodes and the later on seasons where it was kind of getting kind of, they've got an issue they want to talk about here.
Yep.
He was still funny.
Yep.
Love Tim the Toolman
Taylor. I agree.
He's on my list.
I agree so much, in fact, that Tim the Toolman Taylor is number five on my list.
No way!
Yep.
That's incredible.
I know.
Out of all the sitcom dads, we choose the same one at the same spot.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
We never discuss our top five.
No, we have not discussed these at all.
We look at each other, we don't even discuss it.
Well, like you said, he was funny. He had a certain masculinity that I think fathers, and he tried to bestow something good on his sons.
Yeah.
In the serious or in the more serious moments, he was trying to be a good dad,
exactly.
Like he seriously was. So
that's a good one.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Now, a lot of these on these lists, I wouldn't consider good dads.
Right.
I would just consider them my favorite sitcom dads.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I consider a good dad, and this one's for Blaze, Danny Tanner from
Full
House.
I knew that Danny Tanner was going to be on.
Danny Tanner's got to be on. He's a single dad.
He's a single dad.
His wife died.
He's doing what he
he's doing. What he has to. He's got his friends there to help him. His brother-in-law and his friend, they're there to help.
Yep.
But still, he's a single dad with three girls. He's raising three girls.
Three.
Still cutting it up. Got a television show he's got to worry about. Danny Tanner, my number four.
It's hard to raise three girls.
Blaze is going to be mad that's not number one on my list, because he loves the Full House.
Well, that could be number one on his list. My number four is Jerry Stiller on King of Queens.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because he cracks me up.
He's hilarious.
He's not a good dad on that at all.
No,
but
not
he's
at all.
Hilarious.
He's a horrible dad, but very funny.
Very funny. That's why I like him.
Here's another one for you.
Okay.
That's my number four. My number three, Homer Simpson.
Oh.
It's a cartoon, yeah, but it's
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
And he's very funny. He's stupid, but he says funny things.
Yeah.
He's a horrible dad. And I would only consider... I don't even watch The Simpsons anymore. I haven't watched it. I don't even consider it still a show anymore.
No, it's not really a show.
It's off the air in my eyes. But
I didn't even think about animated.
It's the only animated on my list. I wouldn't have put like Peter Griffin or something like that on there. Although I think Peter Griffin's funny.
Peter's very funny.
I wouldn't put him in my top five sitcom dads. Because the dad factor of Peter Griffin doesn't come into my mind very much.
He's not.
But I think
he's
Homer
not,
Simpson is the dad,
not a father at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number three.
Oh, okay. My number three is Bill Cosby.
Nice.
From The Cosby Show. If you don't think he's a good dad, look at him dance at the beginning of
it. He is a great dad. It's a great face. I didn't put him on there because I didn't watch The Cosby Show that much.
I used to love The Cosby Show.
I didn't watch it that much. I was too busy watching, like, I don't know, Charles in Charge or whatever show
too.
I was watching.
Yep.
But I thought about him. I was like, I almost want to put him on the list just because I know he was a good dad on the show.
He was a good dad on the show, and he was also funny.
But it's not what this list is about, so I couldn't say.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, he couldn't edge somebody else out.
Edge somebody else out. Number two for me, Jerry Stiller makes my list, but as Frank Costanza.
Oh, okay.
George Costanza's dad on Seinfeld.
Yes.
So funny.
Yeah.
Still quoting him. I think I might quote him more than any other character on Seinfeld. He's so great and so funny and such not a good dad.
He's
Frank Costanza.
He's hilarious.
He's great.
I love Frank Costanza.
He's so funny.
yep.
Hoochie Mama!
Hoochie Mama! Serenity now! My number two is Peter Boyle as Ray Romano's dad on Everybody Loves
That's
Raymond.
That's good.
He's very funny on that.
I almost put Ray Romano on my list.
I forget that he's a dad because he does have kids, but that's a funny show. I enjoy that show.
It's a very funny show.
I like the comedy of Ray Romano.
He's very, very funny.
Yeah.
I think that maybe our number one is the same.
Rest in peace, Peter Boyle. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. But I don't know for sure because I don't think we ever really talk about the show that much.
It's not.
It's not the same.
I can tell you that.
My number one is Al Bundy from Married with Children.
I thought about Al.
You gotta go Al, man.
I thought about Al.
So funny. The way he interacts with everybody on the show was so funny.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, when the chips were down...
He comes through for the
Al
family.
Bundy comes through for the family.
He comes through for the family. That's right.
And he's a single working dad. He's doing what he's got to do at the shoe store.
Working at the shoe store.
He hates it. Still comes home and does it. If there's a fight, though, or something, he's, let's rock.
Let's rock.
And takes care of things.
That's right.
You know, I remember one episode in particular where I think there was a high school reunion or something like that. And he has to fight the bully for Peg's honor or whatever. I don't remember what the exact thing of it is. And then he's dancing with her at the end. He's all beat up and stuff.
That's cool.
And she's all, oh, I think it's something in your pocket. He's like, that's my spleen, Peg. Or something like that. He'd still kind of save the day. Al Bundy.
He is an exaggeration of the quintessential...
Everyman.
Yep. American dad. I thought about Al. But he got edged out because of... Mr. Frank Costanza from Seinfeld. He was the first one to pop into my head. When we said this list, I was like, Frank Costanza.
Yeah.
Festivus for the rest of us. And all the flipping out. He's getting
so good.
At the drop of a hat. It's just flipping out. Just yelling about everything.
Yeah, he's great.
The brozier.
We talked earlier, and I said I thought that there'd be one, maybe two that would be the same.
Yeah.
I knew that Frank Costanza was going to be the same, but you threw me for a loop. When you put him on as
right
the dad in
exactly.
King of Queens. Then I thought, maybe he didn't put him on there.
So, see, I thought Frank Costanza too.
Yeah.
But I want both Jerry Stiller spots. We didn't say it couldn't be two
guys.
No,
we never said that.
Because that's rare. That's rare for somebody to play a dad on two different shows.
And it's pretty much the same character.
It's the exact same character.
On both shows.
And he cracks me up. I want to watch him. I don't care what he's on. I want to watch him.
He's great in Zoolander. It's the same character.
Yes.
It's always the same guy.
That's right.
It's fine. Just put Jerry Stiller in anything.
Everything. I'll watch anything with Jerry Stiller in it.
Just put him in there. I'll take it. Well, that was a good list.
Good list.
All right. Did they do that one too? Or did you just do the Superman?
He just did the Superman one. An honorable mention that is not so honorable that crossed my mind to put on was Dick Christie from Small Wonder.
I thought about putting Small Wonder on there just as a joke.
As a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not funny or a good dad.
No.
So, you know.
He's terrible.
But he is on a sitcom.
Well, I thought about putting on there, but then I couldn't because I rarely watched the show. I don't know if I even watched the show, but I wanted to put him on there just because the way he said things. Moner? Angela,
yeah.
Jonathan.
Yep.
Who's the boss?
Who's
Tony
the boss?
Danza. I almost put him on there just because I wanted to say those things. Like Clinton, because I'm like, man, you never watched Who's the Boss?
No.
You didn't like that show.
It's a path to take and a path not taken.
I knew the song.
Choice
is
up to you, my friend.
Yep.
Lies are long, but it's miles away.
Yep. It sounded like you mixed the words.
I did.
Miles away and wide awake.
I did.
Mild awake.
Mild
awake.
I mixed up the lyrics.
Two totally different things. The nights are long, but you're miles away.
Yeah.
It's bad. Nights are long, but you're wide awake. It's good.
It's good. You're able to do things.
Nights are long, but you're mild awake. Mild away.
I'm up. I might as well work on my memoirs. I've got all this extra time. I'm mild awake. I can get some reading done. Turn on the lamp, honey.
I'm mild awake.
I'm mild awake.
Not quite there.
These nights are long, but you know what?
I'm mild awake.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, I'm sort of there.
I'm up.
Yeah, I'm not all the way there. I'm almost there.
Get a stew going for tomorrow. I can have it for lunch. Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah.
All right, well, that's it.
That's it, everybody.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you have a great Father's Day for you fathers out there.
Happy Father's Day, y'all.
Let's all cross our fingers that Man of Steel turns out to be good. I don't know. I'm still worried about it.
Cross your fingers.
I get excited about it when I see a trailer. And then the other day I watched this featurette.
Mm-hmm. Was it six things that are wrong with Superman or something?
No. Oh. I did watch everything that's wrong about Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises the other day, and those were great. Watch out now.
Sorry.
No, it was a featurette. It was like a 10 or 13 minute featurette or something like that about the making of the movie.
Yeah.
And it had like the Warner Brothers exec saying something like, well, we need to figure out the way to make Superman work for today's audiences. Because, you know, a lot of people just think it's old and cheesy and these kind of things now. So you had to make a way to make it work for today's audiences. And I thought I was going the same thing. I was going,
That's not a good sign.
Like
that's
that.
Never a good sign.
And they said, but then, you know, Christopher Nolan and Zack Snyder came to us with this idea, and it was like, oh, that's it. That's the take that'll work. And they had, like, David Goyer come on, the screenwriter or whatever, and he was saying, well, it was a way of, I had to come up with a way to make him work in a real world. Make Superman work in a real world and make this realistic and make it accessible to a real world audience. And I was like, oh, boy.
He flies.
Yeah, I was like, that's not what I want.
It's not really.
I didn't even like the real world take on Batman.
Right.
Definitely don't want a real-world take on Superman.
It's tough.
I want it to be a comic book movie.
We don't know how it's going to turn out.
I don't know yet. By the next podcast, we'll know.
You can look for that scene, though, when you see it, when Kevin Costner comes out of the barn.
And says, I'm Clark Kent.
And says, I'm the real Clark Kent.
I'm the real Clark Kent. And then he takes the glasses off. Because he put them on beforehand.
Right.
Just to have them on.
Right.
And he takes them off. I'm the real Clark Kent.
And then you know.
You know it's him. And then you know it's true.
You know it's
everything
true.
Everything I do.
Everything
and then it plays. It plays.
It plays that song.
I do it for you. Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's what it happens. Bryan Adams comes out of the barn with him.
It happens in the
he's
movie.
He's strumming a guitar and he sings the song and then he has a bow and arrow.
Yep.
Bryan Adams does. Bryan, not Kevin
not
Cosby.
Kevin Costner does not. And he says, I'll take them shelves.
Yeah, I'll take them shelves. Yeah. Nothing's free in a water world.
Nothing's free in a water world.
And then the Postman trailer plays and you put the music to it and it works fine.
Bryan Adams music. Syncs up perfectly.
All right, that's it.
All right, that's it, everybody. This has been James and Mike with Action Features.
You ate all that cheese.
I ate all of it.
I had one dip.
Well, here's the deal. I was not putting it back in the jar.
Don't do it. You can't put it back in the jar once it's out.
I wasn't going to do
that.
It's
like Pandora's box of cheese.
I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I threw the jar away anyway.
Who needs it?
This has been Mike and James with Action Features.
Podcast.
I'm the real Kevin.
Yeah.